our Steve Martin, but you're close to our Steve Martin. This is like your 48th time on the show, it seems. You got to stop writing those cookbooks. Domenica Marchetti is a celebrated food journalist. She's the author of 5 cookbooks. She was on a couple of months ago when she had published her homage to Italian veggies, The Glorious Vegetables of Italy. And now she's back with another book called Ciao Biscotti, which actually looks edible. We're going to be talking about all the different kinds of biscotti and what you do with them. I assume you eat them, but we'll see. Maybe there's more you can do. And they call these guys the Peruvian Brothers. Sounds like a comedy act. They could be, I don't know, twin chiropractors, but they're not. They're Giuseppe and Mario Lanzoni, and they have an awesome food truck business that brings the taste of comida criolla to the D.C. area. I'm going to find out what that is because I have no idea. The food is good. And what's really cool is Giuseppe's also a 2-time Olympian. He's a rowing guy. So I'll bet he's going to be handsome and everybody's going to be dying in here. And so much for me and the competitive handsome side of things.
Seriously.
But they're going to bring some food with them, which is all good. And then I've got you.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I'm going to give everybody the lowdown on what we've got going on at 3 Stars this summer. Some new releases, some awesome happenings, some parties.
You guys are spending a lot of time in the can at 3 Stars, too, right?
We'll get into that.
Thank you very much.
We'll definitely get into that. And for anybody who might have been at the Rammies last week, you know, it's always a great time. Today we got Ben Wiley from Bar Pilar on, winner from last week, and awesome hangout spot in the neighborhood, along with some great cocktails. So we're going to talk to him, too.
Well, why don't we start with Ben? What makes Bar Pilar such an awesome? What was it? Was it favorite neighborhood hangout? Is that what it was?
I think neighborhood gathering spot. So you're looking at 14th Street as blowing up and DC in a major way. The culinary scene's getting to be huge. And Bar Pilar has been around for 10 years now. And we've been a large part of the neighborhood and we watched it grow.
Well,
and
you've got a great location.
We lucked out 10 years ago. We thought real smart to get ahead of that. But it's just been a real fun thing to see the neighborhood blow up and to see everybody kind of come together. And Bar Pilar is just a really easy spot that we've been able to do a lot of good drinks. And Jesse, our executive chef, is killing it with food. So it's been a lot of fun watching it grow.
So talk about your in general, the sort of the atmosphere there. I mean, you've got a lot of competition. You've got Le Diplomat. You've got Two Birds. I mean, there are a lot of, you've got Estadio. You've got a lot of competition on that street. What do you guys do? What's so special about?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from knowing inherently who we are. We've got a great...
Who are you, Ben?
Oh, well, that's a long story that no one's interested in. But I do have much more interesting characters in our background. We've got some of our old people that have worked with us, like Adam Birnbach or Jonathan Fain. We've got a great history of people that have always cared about this place, have cared about like how Bar Pilar's done and Cafe St. X, our sister restaurant. And we've just been lucky to be, like day in, day out, have good people come through our doors. And we can't beat that. You know, you can't win. You know, you can't lose when you have people that care about the restaurant and get to enjoy your friends come in and want to visit you.
Well, that makes me feel good because I've come through your doors and now I know we're friends.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get into the cocktail program in a bit, but tell us what the first drink that you've prepared.
So this drink is kind of paired off. Again, our chef likes to do a lot of some Asian influenced dishes. So what I did is talk to him about what's growing in the gardens out on the farms that he works with. This is going to be a Thai basil drink. It's going to have...
You were up late last night?
Yeah, a little bit.
Drinks like a meal.
This is going to be a Thai basil syrup that I made with fresh from a local farm. Then you have yuzu, which is Asian varietal, like lemon. So it's going to be a little piney. And then gin, which is a natural pairing. So what I kind of focus on is like clean, flavors, minimalist, but I want everything to kind of come out. And so I don't, I try to make sure everything is just right there on the nose and that you can kind of get it, refreshing drink.
Cool. All right. Well, mix it up. Yeah, go crazy. Let's turn our attention to the Lauren and Jared Slip, who is the sommelier in residence at the Lauren, which sounds, this is a very lofty title for a very lofty place. So let's first talk about you. How'd you end up with this gig?
So I run a winery out in Virginia called RDV, and a friend of mine is the broker for the property. It's actually not even fully constructed yet, so getting their ducks in a row, they had an idea to have this sommelier in residence. And when they first called me about it, I thought it was interesting, but didn't think much of it. You know, I've got enough on my plate as it is. And then the more I kind of kicked it around in my head, I was like, I don't think anyone's done this before. So
I don't think anyone's done it. I never heard of it.
You know, just me Googling around, I don't know anyone else in the world that has tried to do something like this.
Mike McGarvey will be somebody's beer sommelier shortly.
In my house, I'm always the sommelier.
So, I mean, so who contacted you? Your buddy who's involved with it?
Yeah, my friend of mine, David DeSantis, originally contacted me, and then more people got involved, and we sort of kicked it around. And the nice thing about having no one ever done this before is there's no format, there's no structure. We can make it anything we want it to be.
Well, is wine that popular now that you feel comfortable that people in the building are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, wine has always been popular. You know, Woodrow Wilson took his cellar when he left the White House and buried it in another house so that incoming President Hardy couldn't, who was a big pro-temperance guy, couldn't drink it all. So, you know, wine has always been a big part of
these. Warren Hardy was a huge drunk. Right. That's tough. But he was pro-temperance?
Yeah.
He was pro-everybody else.
Exactly.
Being temperate.
It was definitely a double standard back during Prohibition. But, you know, again, the wine movement and just the, you know, as Ben will attest as well, just the booze consumption and, you know, with beer, you know, more is more. You know, we're seeing a lot more.
More is
craft.
Not enough, my friend.
You're seeing a lot more craft distillers. You're seeing a lot more craft brewers. There's now over 250 wineries in Virginia alone. You know, Washington D.C. is a big city market.
It's a boozy town.
So how would this work if I live in the building? What's the service like?
So I'm not leaving my day job. This is a little fun add-on for me. So essentially, it'll be tastings that we put on, that I put on, and the theme could be anything. It could be rosés from around the world. It could be, you know, Bordeaux varietals from anywhere but Bordeaux. It could be really crazy, esoteric wines from, you know, Greece and Moldova and the Ukraine or what have you. Or we can get a, you know, really classic, this new cool thing. So I just passed my Master Sommelier exam last year, and there was a documentary that came out. And because of that, you know, blind tasting is the new cool hot thing. So maybe we do an introductory to blind tasting and all the metrics that go into that.
So you won't be, if I call down and say I'd like a bottle of Boone's Farm delivered to my apartment, you won't be delivering wine.
No. It's certainly not the Boone's Farm.
No Mad Dog 2020 tastings going on?
Come on.
I'm not against it.
You would be if you'd ever tasted it. All right. So... I guess the other question is, will the Lorne have a wine cellar? I mean, how will you do this?
So there's a main wine cellar, and then each individual residence has its own wine locker as well. So everyone has a small piece of a wine cellar that they can add to. And, of course, you know, being your own domicile, if you want to put in your own storage mechanism, you can, whether it's a Eurocav or build out an entire room.
All right. Well, let me go back. You mentioned that you just passed your Master Somm exam. What does that entail?
Drinking a lot and remembering a little.
Okay. So,
no,
Mike,
it's much
you're
more
Master
than that.
Sommelier. Congratulations.
They go well together,
Ben,
actually.
Way to go, man.
So there was an exam 2 weeks ago now, and seven people passed. So I think the number is now 227
in the world.
What
do you have to study and what do you have to do?
It's not just wine. It's wine. It's service. It's beer. It's cocktails. It's cigars. Just because
cigars?
You're the cigar service. They don't do the service portion of that anymore because it's sort of a waning trend of smoking in restaurants, but still you need to have the knowledge of that. So there's really sort of a four-step process these days. There's the introductory exam that we conduct all over the country, and I teach some of those here and there, which is for anyone that wants to learn more about wine. My wife got forced into it with 12 hours notice. Because one of my employees dropped out, she went, she passed. That's great. Then there's certified, which is for if you're a sommelier in a good restaurant or you're a captain in a really high-end restaurant, That's a good stopping point, you know, a good certification for you. Advanced is for people that are slightly off their rocker and are gluttons for punishment, and then masters are for us complete
nutbags.
And
so is it? I guess is it a lot of tasting, which of course it would be, but a lot of book study too?
So the tasting is definitely the glamorous part, but theory drives everything, and you'll never pass this exam. You'll never pass the tasting. You'll never pass the service unless you don't have the theory to back that up. So that was the stumbling block for most people. So they've actually gone ahead and changed the exam so that you now have to pass the theory portion first. Before you can entertain taking the service portion and the tasting portion.
I think the idea of having a wine sommelier for a condo is a brilliant innovation. It really is. It's a very smart innovation. Whose idea was it? Come on.
Alex is here. Yeah.
Step up.
That's right.
Hi, Alex. So, Alex, you're PR for the building, right?
I am, yes.
But was this just a bolt out of the blue, or was it a part of a conversation about what other services to provide?
Well, the great thing about the Lauren is that it has a ton of amenities that really take care of a lot of things that you would lose if you were, you know, in a larger estate or mansion or house. And, you know, wine is a big, big hobby for people that want to, you know, they really want to make sure that they can still have their collection at hand. So one of the big amenities for them was a 1,500 square foot wine lounge.
I think that's nice.
So we wanted to really, you know,
it's bigger
take
than my
advantage
house.
Of that.
If you're going to do that, get a some. That's pretty smart. All right. Well, so like the residence is the Lauren, which opens when?
Should be opening deliverable to the residents late spring.
Late spring, okay, of next year. And it's on Hamden Lane in Bethesda. And this is Jared Slip. And oh wait, you know what? We've got like 15 seconds. You brought us some wines.
Quick,
taste.
Chug!
It's delicious. I've been drinking it.
This is a wine that we make at the winery RDV out in Delaplaine, Virginia. It's about an hour due west on 66. So this is about 77% Cabernet, some Merlot, so Bordeaux blend.
And Nikki and I have your wines at home, and they are yummy. So all right, thanks.
Thank you.
He's Jared Slip. He's the sommelier in residence at the Lauren to Be when it opens up. And normally this is David and Nikki Nellis, but now it's David Nellis and Mike McGarvey, handsome couple that we are, on Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. I'm David Nellis. We've got Mike McGarvey here. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, everyone.
From Three Stars Brewing. He's my co-host today. We're both decked out in matching sequin gowns. I think we look great. And we're talking to Jared Slip from RDV Vineyards. This, we're drinking Lost Mountain, correct?
Yep.
It's yummy.
Thank you.
I would wrap it around a steak. Is that a good thought?
I like that idea. Lots of grilled. I'm thinking grilled meats.
Well, it's
roasted lamb.
'Tis the season.
Squab.
So tell us about the vineyard real quick.
It's beautiful.
What city?
It's in Delaplaine, Virginia, which is just past the Plains and Marshall, straight out 66 as you're going to Front Royal. I live here in Washington in DuPont Circle, and I can't tell you, you know, it's quite the juxtaposition waking up in the city to fire engines and screaming children and then being out at the vineyard and the bucolic scenery and the dog is chasing deer. I mean, I don't know if Washingtonians understand that this is literally right in their backyard.
But it's a schlep because of traffic, right?
I have farmer hours now, so I'm in the car by 7 at the latest, and it's an hour door to door.
No, RDV is. I mean, the we have. You know what? I'm not the wine guy. My wife is, so I can't tell you what bottles we have. But it's a regular on our dining room table.
Well, thank you.
And Lost Mountain I've had. It's terrific. So okay, give us a little plug. Where are you online?
RDV.com.
Clever.
Me personally, I'm not the Mr. No, Social Media. I've threatened to hire a 12-year-old to run our social media campaign. So
the 12-year-olds are good at it.
Right. But we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook, all that.
And vineyard tours?
We do tours by appointment. You know, when we started, I never wanted a bar and people deep vying for a glass of wine. So it's very calm, serene. You know, you come, you start out with a glass of champagne. We give you the full on tour, and then you sit down to a proper tasting.
Oh, great!
You're there to relax.
Then you get in a sleeping bag and sleep it off. That sounds like. All right. Well, Jared, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And go see him at the Lauren in spring of 2016. If we're all still here. We'll come by for a wine course. Why not?
Perfect.
Love all right. So Ben Wiley, let's go back to you and Bar Pilar. You know, you do have a just a ton of competition up and down 14th mm-hmm. Street, U Street, Mike Isabella's, Capnos up at the top, and then Columbia Heights. What's your cocktail program like, and why does it draw people in still?
Well, this is going to sound kind of cheesy, but
be cheesy.
For the most part, I'd like to think that with all of the competition going up and coming all up and down U Street, 14th Street, you're a lot of people are really really helpful with each other. Like, there's a lot of group emails back and forth about how do we get these products in, where do we go to get them.
You mean there's camaraderie?
A little bit, yeah. We're actually no one's cutthroat. Yeah, I'll talk some mean stuff about other people, but silently and
because they
on
all
radio.
Suck, of
yeah,
course.
Oh,
right, right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty confident in myself, but anyway, you have Bar Pilar just on a day to day basis, we're offering. Like cocktails at at $10, you can get two for the price. So you can get, one and a half somewhere else. So, you're looking at pricing around the area. You get a lot of restaurants that don't have bars. So you're looking for a place to get some really, really awesome food, some different styles and some drinks that are always going to be refreshing.
Well, plus
and
you can go downstairs
all the time.
And dance your booty off too.
You get, you can do that. You can also, you're going to sweat it out. So have a drink and then go down. And
sweat it
and make bad decisions.
All right. Well,
Something I've been noticing just because I live over in that area mm-hmm. is that just in general, the bars have all they've been upping their game on the cocktails.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a ton of
this one is no exception. What's
this one's really
for us.
Terrific.
It's fantastic.
And you're going to make another one now. Yeah. What are you going to make?
So this one's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, Pilar, you're going to deal with Pilar is named after a Hemingway's boat. So you're getting a lot of we do a lot of Caribbean style influence. So this one's going to be rum. You're going to have a little bit of a Cardamaro, which is, if people know from Italy, I'm sure someone can speak a little bit better, from the Cardoon, not cardamom. And then you have, this is going to be from a strawberry shrub. So shrubs are one of those ingredients you'll see a lot of people start making. Again, it's a way to extend the shelf life of seasonal products. So strawberries, already out of season, can't even get any more farm fresh strawberries. You can get a lot of other styles, but the farms we're dealing with, 2-week period. So what I did is I made a shrub with it. It's a vinegar-based syrup. So it's going to have, this drink is going to have a little bit of the funkiness. You're looking at, kombucha style almost. That's how I sell it when I talk to people. They're going to be like, I don't like vinegar. You're like, well, try this. Try one sip, then try a second sip. So I'll make a couple for
Every
you
Every time
guys.
I hear shrub, I think of Monty Python. Bring me a shrubbery.
Yeah.
I think of a small plant.
No, this
same thing,
right? A little bit different.
Okay. While you're doing that, let's talk to Domenica Marchetti, who is a world-renowned food journalist. and author of 5 cookbooks.
Six cookbooks.
She had another baby.
That's my baby. That's my new baby.
Well, let's talk about you. How did you get into this?
I was a journalist. I have my master's degree in journalism from Columbia. And so I was a reporter for a long time. And when my kids were little, I left my job to become a freelancer. So I had more flexibility. And I just kind of reinvented myself as a food writer because I loved to eat Italian food.
You just like going to Italy.
Well,
I grew up in an
Italian family. My mom was born and raised there, and I spent my summers there growing up. So it's really what I love. And I just had a growing collection of cookbooks and loved writing about food and exploring Italian cuisine.
And there we are. So now, the last cookbook was all about vegetables.
Yes.
Now we've got one on biscotti.
Biscotti, yes.
What's up with that?
Well, this was actually... My publisher, Chronicle Books, was actually the one that came up with this idea. And I was kind of lukewarm on it in the beginning because I thought, okay, there's one biscotto. There's cantucci di prato, which are just crunchy cookies made with flour, sugar, eggs, and almonds. And where do you go from there? But the more I started playing around with the idea, the more I enjoyed it. And I thought, okay, this is going to be fun. So I just kind of took that basic biscotto and created a bunch of different riffs on it. So I have a chapter on classic biscotti, which would be the almond biscotti, hazelnut biscotti, just kind of your classic Italian flavors. I think there's a fig one in there. And then a chapter on biscotti with fruit. So dried cherries, cranberries, that kind of thing.
Well, let's drill it down biscotto in English is biscuit, all right? It sounds so boring in English.
Well, and I think maybe in the original iteration they might have been boring. This idea of baking cookies twice, and that's what biscotti are. They're twice cooked. So you make the dough and you sort of shape it into a loaf and you bake it, and then you slice it and then you bake it again. And the idea is to bake out all the moisture so that they are lungo conservazione, so they last a long time. And they were said to... Nourished the Roman troops. So I think back in those days, though, they were more like hardtack than the chocolate-drizzled biscotti.
When you think about
what a staple of, like, you know, the in the morning you wake up and you go down to your local bar on Via delle Terme in Florence,
yeah,
and they're bomboloni and, you know, the cafe and all that.
Yes.
But it's amazing how many people opt for a biscotto.
Well, traditionally, biscotti are after dinner, and they are dunked in Vinsanto, which is...
In Florence,
yes,
yeah, right.
Which is a wine typical of Toscana. So the biscotti that we know of today, those oblong-shaped cookies, really were started by a baker in the town of Prato, which is in Tuscany, a little bit northwest of Florence. And he opened his bakery in, I think, 1858, and he started baking these twice-baked cookies just with, you know, almonds from the local fields, eggs, flour. And his cookies won a couple of prizes, and they obviously had staying power because Biscotteria Antonio Mattei was his name. It's still there in the town of Prato. You can buy biscotti
He's not still there,
but his biscotti or his legacy lives on. And you can actually buy them online if you want. But you can make your own. And I brought some with me.
Well, so. Yeah, so I'm sure everyone, stop drooling over there.
Let's pass them
around.
So I brought iced triple lemon biscotti. So they're not traditional, but they're...
Wait, I just want to give one. Just to take a couple, Mike. Don't go for the whole plate.
Thank you.
Well, it's summer, and I really love lemon. I love the flavor of lemon, so I wanted to really punch it up. Mm. So I have lemon zest, lemon juice, and lemon extract in the biscotti with toasted almonds, and then a very lemony icing on top. So they're great for summer.
Should they be dunked?
These are good, you know, if you have a really nice dark espresso, these are good to serve alongside it. Or limoncello, I would also recommend for these biscotti, maybe more than the traditional Vinsanto.
If you had to pick your favorite, because they're sweet and savory recipes in this book.
I did. I have a little chapter on savory biscotti, and so they have cheese and cracked pepper and minced pancetta.
That sounds so good.
They're really good cocktail, aperitivo biscotti.
Did you, like, try all the recipes before you put them in the book?
I made them all many times.
Why aren't you fat?
She only tries them, David.
That's the journalist question. That's the deep, piercing question. Why aren't you
You're very kind.
All this stuff?
Well, you know, biscotti actually have, most of them have very little fat in them. It's just the egg yolk that has the fat. These are a little bit more crumbly than crunchy, and these have butter in them. So there's a difference in texture because of that. So the traditional ones don't have any butter or oil, and you dunk them, but they're really hard and crunchy. These are a little bit more tender because they have butter in them.
So this is absolutely delicious.
Thank you.
Normally, I know biscotti. My Italian is nowhere near as good as yours.
That was very nice. That was very...
Normally, I would have it with an espresso or a coffee because I love coffee, too. You mentioned some other drinks that you could pair them with. We do a citra lemon saison, for example, that we're going to pour a little bit of in a little while. But what are some other things like the limoncello that you would recommend to pair with this?
A limoncello, yes, for sure. And in fact, there are drink pairings for all of the biscotti recipes in the book. And I have to give a shout out to my husband, Scott Vance, who did the drink pairings. But for example, I have a recipe for chocolate dipped toasted coconut biscotti. And they have, they're just really nice and great flavor. So we thought, what are you going to serve to drink with that? And we ended up with Bailey's Irish Cream. Okay, and I know it sounds, people sort of make a funny face when you talk about, but I love Bailey's, and it actually goes beautiful with those toasted coconut biscotti.
All right, so unfortunately, we're going to have to move on to a commercial, but I want to make sure everybody knows how to find the book. Are you doing any book signings?
I have been doing book signings. Right now, I've got nothing planned because I'm, as you know, I'm leaving for Italy next week.
But... I hate you for that.
But my website is www.domenicacooks.com, and you can get more information on all my books there.
Real quick, what's your next project?
Oh, I'm working on a great book on Italian preserving traditions. I'm really excited about it.
I want your life.
Give us a quick, high range, what are you going into in that? What type breadth of foods?
Everything. I mean, jams, marmellate, food preserved in oil, vinegar, liqueurs, syrups, all of that fun stuff. So
I guess you'll be back.
I will, for sure.
All right. Well, everybody, go look for Ciao Biscotti from Domenica Marchetti. And it's on Amazon and in the bookstores
and all of that. Yes.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you.
Nikki reads cookbooks. I don't. I read most of this thing. It was
Thanks.
Really amazing.
It was
I love
a fun
your stories,
book to
too.
Read. Thank you.
All right. This is Foodie and the Beast with David Nellis and Mike McGarvey. We'll be back in a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This segment of Foodie and the Beast is sponsored by ProFish, D.C.'s premier seafood company. For more than 25 years, ProFish has offered such extraordinary customer service that they set the tone for the entire industry. Sustainability is at the core of what they do. ProFish delivers only the freshest, safest, and finest seafood available. It's a philosophy that has made ProFish the premier seafood company in the D.C. area. Visit them at ProFish.com.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nellis and
Hello.
Mike McGarvey. You know what I want to do? I want to make sure to thank the guys at ProFish for they're our newest advertiser. So John Rorpaugh and all the guys over there, thanks so much. So, Here we are. We're going to jump from Italy to Peru and back to Italy because we have two Peruvian guys with Italian surnames. I don't know what's going on here. They call them the Peruvian Brothers. It's Giuseppe and Mario Lanzone, and they have an awesome food truck business that brings the taste of comida criolla to the D.C. area. So I want to know how a couple of guys with Italian surnames ended up in Peru. What happened there?
Good morning, guys. My grandfather came from Italy after World War II, and that's where all the Italian background comes from.
And you grew up in Lima?
We grew up right on the beach in Lima, in a small town, 10 blocks by 5 blocks, surrounded by water.
Is that why you have great suntans?
This is from the summer.
This is from
being in the truck so much.
Here, yeah? You got to get closer to the mic.
Being in the truck so much.
That's not so bad. So let's kind of talk about how you went from there to here. Now, Giuseppe, you're a two-time Olympian in rowing. Do I have that right? Competitive rowing?
Yeah, for Team USA in Beijing and London.
And how did that transition you guys into the food business and all of that? Take us from there to here.
Well, I went away for college, and then I was away for 8 years training with the national team. And ever since I left, my brother and I always wanted to start something together, whether it was a club, a lounge, a little bar, something, that it was ours. And then when I came back, our mother was like, oh, why don't you guys start a food truck? And then we came up with the name. We came up with the menu from the things that we really miss from Peru.
And bim, 2 years bam, boom, later, you got a food truck business, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Now, Mario, you're the chef
in the
family.
I'm the one that cooks the meats, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell us about that. What's your special take on it?
We have a special sandwich, which is called a pan con chicharrón. It's a salted pork tenderloin, which you put it on a French roll with sliced sweet potatoes, then the pork tenderloin and the criolla sauce on top, which is a purple onion slice with vinegar, olive oil, lime juice, salt and pepper.
Ooh.
Mm. Yes, please.
I will take two. And comida criolla, what is that?
Comida criolla is pretty much a mixture of just the background in Peru, how just all cultures coming in together from all over the place.
Is there a lot of street food in Peru?
There is street food, but not so much, not as much as you would think. A lot of mini restaurants and stuff like that.
There's a bunch of restaurants in Lima, especially now that the food is so well known. Peruvian food is becoming really well known, and there's just you can see restaurants in every single block in Peru, and all of them are better than the other.
All right, so you brought Peruvian cuisine here. What's the rest of the menu on the truck?
Well, we have the pan con chicharrón, which is our top seller. It's mainly sandwiches. We have a steak sandwich. We have chicken. We have another pork sandwich. And then we have nowadays, during the summer, we have avocados from Peru. And then we have a triple, which we're actually going to make. It's a three-layer vegetarian sandwich. It's tomato, egg, and avocado with our Peruvian mayonnaise.
Well, let's talk about the avocados because that's a big deal for you, and you've got you're actually tied in promotionally with the avocado, Growers Association in Peru?
Yeah, we're together with the avocados from Peru. We're actually wrapping half our truck with their logo on our logo together to promote the avocados from Peru. I think they're doing a really good thing. They're seasonal, so you can only get them during the summer.
What's kind of the difference? So if normally, I'm not really paying attention to where my avocados are coming from. What we look for in the Peruvian profile there?
They're pretty similar. It's just they're a little bit smaller. I like the flavor a little bit more. Usually, you get avocados that are like a little hard. You don't get a lot of flavor. But every time I've had an avocado from Peru, it's always like ready to eat.
Yeah, it's very green. It's very tasty. And now that we have the avocados for the 4 months for the summer, we're gonna start doing a different plates in the truck as well.
Well, do you my wife started grilling them, and they're very it's a very subtle it's a fruit, isn't it? Not a vegetable.
Correct.
All right. How about that? I knew something. Ha ha ha! Nikki Nellis, take that, snap.
David is actually the foodie on the show today. I'm the beast.
I'm the glutton. But so I mean, what are the? Because more often than not, you see it in a sandwich or you see it. On the side of a salad or in a salad.
We use it for the quinoa salad.
Yeah.
We top it off with the avocado. And now that we're getting avocados, we're going to start doing avocados with veggies, or we're going to start adding more plates.
You're going to have avocados up the hoo-ha. That'll be good.
Yeah.
So I got a question. I don't know the answer. Are food trucks allowed to sell alcohol?
No. Food trucks are not allowed to sell alcohol, they're unfortunately. Not. They've asked me many times for pisco, and we can't have it.
Pisco sours.
Pisco, pisco. This food sounds like it would be good with
beer.
Three stars beer.
Some beer would be great on those trucks, food truck.
This is their among their latest and greatest. It's called Above the Clouds. It's a farmhouse pale ale. I've had it for real. I had it over at Union Market. All this food sounds like it would be awesome with that. So one of the other questions I have for you, because I'm not familiar with the truck. My office is out in Annandale, so I don't eat lunch downtown. Where are you guys? How do we find you?
The easiest way to find us is on Facebook or Twitter. Our Facebook name is Peruvian Brothers, and our Twitter name is at Peru Brothers. Every morning around 9:30, I post exactly where we're going to be, and we have Peruvian Brothers 1 and Peruvian Brothers 2, and we're anywhere from...
Are there two trucks?
Yeah, we have two trucks now. Gotcha. Anywhere from Metro Center to Lefan Plaza to Farragut Square, mainly where there's a lot of people, a lot of offices.
You know, one day we should do a show segment on just how it's like playing checkers, like where you guys are allowed to be and how you work that out with the city. That must be
It's a lottery.
Nuts.
It's a lottery that you put yourself your truck once a month and then they'll tell you where to go.
I was not aware of that.
So
Was I aware of just how extensive your menu is compared. I think a lot of us have exposure to limited Peruvian menus, and I think everyone thinks Peruvian chicken when we're talking about
one.
Yeah,
we got a little carried away when we started making the menu because we miss all these things from Peru and we didn't have them here, so we were like, well, let's make all these dishes, and then now we have to make them every day.
So if I'm new to it, new to the cuisine, what is the one thing you'd say don't miss out on?
Probably the pan con chicharrón. It's the staple for all the sandwiches in Peru. Like, if you ask any Peruvian what's the sandwich they want to eat, is the pan con chicharrón.
It's like our hamburger, the national
Pretty
sandwich.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you guys are, I'm going to wrap up shortly here, but you're involved in a couple of events, and I want to make sure we tell people about that. You're going to be at the Folklife Festival, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We entered like a little contest, and we ended up winning a bit to be one of the food vendors at the Folklife Festival. It was very good for us to be able to be there. We're going to be serving anywhere from 800,000 people around that over 10 days from...
You better get a lot of meat.
No, it's
trucks one and two need to be on standby.
It's incredible. We're not selling out of a truck. That's the thing. We're selling out of a 40-foot trailer with 10 cash registers.
Boy, right now, cows are running in circles. They're like, oh, my God.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's the Cattlemen's Association, right? All right, and then you're also going to be at the residence of the Peruvian ambassador
on Monday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
What are you
Monday.
Doing there?
We're catering. We're donating some food. We're doing beef sliders and ají de gallina bites for the fashion show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun too. They're bringing a designer from Peru, and I think it's going to be top notch.
Cool. You guys have families?
Sounds great.
Our family, yeah.
You mean father and mother?
Wife, girlfriend, no. All that. See these guys. They're good-looking guys. Go buy a sandwich and check these guys out, ladies. You know, there are more women in Washington than there are men.
Yes. That's what I hear.
These are good-looking guys. All right. Well, thank you. Where do we find you online again? Let's just make sure we know.
On Facebook, it's Peruvian Brothers, and on Twitter, it's at Peru Brothers. We post every morning around 9:30, 10, exactly where we're going to be.
Cool. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you
great.
Very much.
So we're going to go back to Ben Wiley and Bar Pilar in a sec, but I want to talk to Mike McGarvey because, you know, we've had Dave Coleman on, we've talked about Three Stars, but let's go back because you guys are really, you went from 0 to 60 in a short period of time. So why don't you do the 411 on Three Stars and let's talk about some of your news.
All right. Well, where do I start? So for anyone who doesn't know us or where we're located, we're at 6400 Chillum Place. In the district, just tucked behind the old Tacoma Park neighborhood. These days, we're open Thursday through Sunday.
So we can come there and watch you brew?
Thursday and Friday, you can catch someone in the process of brewing. You can see what's going on. We're open 4 to 8 on those days for beers, pints, flights, whatever it may be. Saturday, Sunday, much of the same, but 1 to 5. Tours, free tours, 2 or 3 o'clock on Saturdays.
Are you guys playful like they are in the Sam Adams commercials where they spray each other with a little spray and then they giggle and then they go back to making the beer? Is it...
Well, I guess the guy that's got to clean the water up doesn't always have the same sense of humor. So there's not as much
that.
Of dumping water on each other, but it's pretty hot. So I think people would be happy about that.
All right. So
we're we've grown almost doubled in size year over year. We're about 3 years in the market here.
Where's your distribution?
Great question. So
brilliant question.
We've been a long time. People have been asking us, when can I get you in D.C.? When can I get you in Maryland? When can I get you in Virginia? We're all over D.C. Through partnerships with distribution in Virginia with premium distributors, D.C. with premium distributors, and Maryland with Legends Distributing. We are now in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. You can find us just about everywhere. And if you can't, ask, and we'll get there. So that's been huge for us this year. You know, just trying to get it out everywhere.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half here. Talk about, I mean, craft brewing has exploded.
Yeah.
It used to be where people were making it at home and all of that. And now you've got not just a lot of craft brewers, but you've got people trying to make, you know, they can't think of another ingredient to put in there to try and make it different from you or from Dogfish or from, you know, whoever. How does that affect your business?
I think we've certainly seen an effect just in the mass of breweries that are getting started. But I think each brewery has to develop their own identity and to be successful. And that's something we've focused on since the beginning and developing our recipes and the process around production. So while we've certainly felt that, we're doing our thing and we just continue to execute in that way.
All right.
Distinctive beers. And
stay
so,
the course.
Coming up this Thursday.
You're going to hold that. That's the tease for when
right.
we come back.
All right.
Mike has big news. And when I say big, I mean big, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Nellis and Mike McGarvey on Foodie and the Beast. We're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit AARP.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nellis and my co-host Mike McGarvey. Before we get going, back to Mike, I just want to thank the people that support the show, our friends at ProFish, Georgetown Bagelry, the Gaylord Hotel at National Harbor, the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. A lot of hotels like us. Well, that's so nice. The Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay and the American Land Board. Guys, thanks for supporting the show. So, Mike, big announcement. Do we have a drum roll? We don't have a drum roll. I'll do it on my tummy. Hit it.
Nicely done, Dave.
Thank you so much.
All right, so the big news. This Thursday, 4 o'clock at the brewery, we're releasing cans. So David's big lead-up to being
not
canned.
The city in France.
16-ounce tall boys, Citra Lemon Saison, Ghost White IPA, first 500 to the brewery, get free koozie along with it for that 16-ounce can. Limit 2 per person. Come on by.
Giuseppe is revving up the truck right now. He's gonna...
I'll be there in no time.
Sounds great.
So let's talk
if
about
you
cans.
Come in, you want to come and be a food truck on Thursday? You are welcome to do so.
Back in the day, the knock against beer in cans was that the beer picked up the taste of the can. It had sort of a tinny taste. And I'm talking about in the, 70s, 80s, 90s. So
yeah, not true.
What happens?
Not true.
Not at all?
No, they have a coating inside that's flavorless.
All right. And what's the advantage to you of doing cans?
Well, with all beers, you look first at ideal packaging. And if you look at our lineup, we've got a broad spectrum of beers, a lot of Saisons, a lot of beers that really lend themselves better to a large format bottle, something you share with friends, something you let condition. But, when you look at what's going on with craft beer and what's available out there, and the fact is that people love canned beer. And we looked at a couple of the brands that we've got. These two in particular, Citra Lemon, Saison, Ghost, are just fantastic summer beers, sessionable beers, 5%.
Is it because it's just easier to throw into a cooler and put some ice around it and keep it that way? Is that why cans are so?
Yeah, definitely. It's just the convenience of them. You're sitting around at a ballpark. Ballparks right now are all adopting can formats as much as they can. Any place that really wants to get away from
you're available at Nationals Park, right?
We're not yet available in the cans there. Certainly something we're discussing with them.
But I get three stars at
yes,
the park.
You can
right?
get us at the park on the local carts. It's a summer beer. We think both those are great summer beers, and we wanted something that people could take to water parks.
Will that do to your business, do you think?
Hopefully we think it's going to be a nice incremental growth.
Rocket it to the top.
Yeah. Well, we could have the problem of just needing to produce those cans all the time, which we're ready for. We got a truckload of cans in house. This will be the first relief. And
so do the cans it sounds funny to say bottling in a can, but you get the can and you guys put the beer in and then put the top on all in your place. Is that how it works?
So, for right now, we do not own a canner. So, what we're doing is partnering with River City Canning, the local mobile canning unit. We've purchased the cans themselves. So they come in just empty cans with no lids on them, 16-ounce cans. The brewery right now is jammed with them. We've got so many of them because you've got to buy them in bulk to really make it, price-wise, make sense for us. And so they come in. They're actually coming in tomorrow morning. They're bringing in the equipment. They're going to roll it in. We're going to fill them up. Beer's waiting for them, and then they'll go out.
It's exciting news. It's like having a baby.
It is.
You ever had a baby?
I've had lots of beer babies. I can tell you that.
My stomach's killing me. All right. That is great news. What else is going on? You got about a minute here. Anything else you want to talk about?
All I would say is stay tuned for our July 26th summer jam. So anyone who's come out to the brewery for our summer parties, they're always a hit. Tickets will sell out. Tickets are going to go on sale July 1st. Just some names that are out there that are going to be there. Rappahannock River Oysters. I think we got Green Hat coming in again. Let me see. I lost my list on some
That's
of that
all
stuff.
Right.
But Sloppy Mama's Barbecue, I know they're going to be there. And then I'd just say follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 3 Stars Brewing. That's the number, 3 Stars Brewing.
That was easy. It was like a commercial.
It's almost like I've had you're to like, do this before.
You're like the boss with the hot sauce. It's good. All right. Well, then that's cool. And then congratulations on your can baby or whatever.
Thank you very much.
I don't know that I call it that, but back to Ben. Ben.
Yes.
This last drink was nuts.
I would try to change stuff up every once in a while.
I think it's great. It's almost like it's almost got some port-like qualities too in it.
So you're getting a lot of different flavor profiles. I mean, that's the fun I get to do is, like, we change our menu. We print it every week. So there's always one or two things that we're going to highlight and have fun with. And that one is just a fun one to keep strawberries and kind of show them off in a different way.
Well, let's talk about it. At the top of the show, I mentioned it's the same in craft brewing and everything. Right. Because mixology has become so competitive now. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you guys aren't having,
knife fights.
Shards of I was going to
say.
It's
all like Anchorman.
I was
going to
say
sit around
broken cocktail glass fights, but that's all right. They're both
knife fights
awful.
Sound cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, so, there's a point to which it's to an extreme. Let's put, sneakers in them. To get a different flavor. So when you guys are sitting around inventing.
Right.
Are you literally just saying, I wonder what it would taste like if we put in that and,
Well, I would think that's one of the ways that Barpilar kind of it's been fun with me and more reflects my style and also like the style of the bar and how I kind of approach drinks. There's always going to be those people that are going to be cutting edge. There's a lot of great books out there. There's a lot of people that are smarter than me. They're going to honestly like be reinventing the wheel every day.
I'm not one of them, by the way. I just want
to... Oh, well, don't. There's more out there than there should be. so anyway, you know, with me, I like to keep a palette that like everybody can kind of identify with, have a couple variations, have fun with it, and make it a little bit more approachable. I think there's a lot of great things out there that, you know, belong in their certain spots. But for us, we want somebody to like come in, have a drink, have two, have a shot, have a three stars beer. I'm going to be buying your cans. So that way I can, you know, I can offer a little bit of everything for everybody. So, I mean, that's what we get to do. That's...
Yeah. You know, with beer, I've always taken an approach that you're not going to make something that no one has ever tried to make before. It's just right. something that's been around for too long.
And you get behind it and it's fun for you to taste something new and you want to show it off. You know, half the fun is telling people about this weird thing that you just saw.
But balance and drinkability is something you've always got to keep in perspective as you're making that.
That's what I mean, because I'm not, I confess, a huge cocktail guy.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
I'm like the old standards, you know, gin and tonic, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, we'll go into a place and that we'll be looking at the menu. It's like, what were they? Were they, you know, on LSD when they were coming up with this
thing?
Some
people probably were.
They probably, the only thing not in the cocktail is LSD, which is probably why I didn't have it.
They probably broke it down and then took it apart and then put some of it in there. And there's always going to be, like I said, room for that area. And I think DC has a couple great people doing some cool, innovative stuff. And, you know, it's the thought process. It's like, and I think we take a lot from the back of the house. So our chefs are really... They'll be pushing forward on, and they'll mention flavor profiles. And there's chefs out there that are coming to the city now. They're destroying it, and I'll steal from them because they're that's who you steal from.
All right.
One of the big things I think the most hated question by bartenders is what should I drink or
what's good?
Yeah.
What's good?
Yeah. So what if you had one on your menu? What is the one though that you're the most?
Well, and
proud
that's
of?
Immediately when I throw it back. I want people to understand what they like to drink.
Well. Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah.
You can't just throw something in front of somebody.
You know, I'll look at you and I'll judge you, but I'll keep it private.
Don't be so judgmental. that's what I'll say. But, I'll get very uptight.
Yeah, I know. I just want people to know their flavor profiles. Do they like tart drinks, boozy drinks? Do you like sweet drinks? You know, we can accommodate a lot of profiles, and I would like to make sure that you get what you want.
All right. The guy is Ben Wiley. He's the beverage director at Bar Pilar on 14th and U. Mm-hmm. And he's a Rammy winner. Congratulations for that.
I would say the restaurant.
The restaurant
I'll take
is.
Small credit.
Show's almost over. I want to let you guys know about a couple of things. Number one, I want to thank our guests, of course, everybody for coming in. Right now, there's a huge sandwich competition to benefit charity going on at Mike Isabella's G Sandwich Restaurant. Sandwich restaurant during the day, restaurant at night up on 14th Street. The Banh Mi and the Beast, the sandwich that Nikki and I invented, is wiping the field. Everything that's spent on our sandwich goes to Food and Friends, which is an essential charity in the city for feeding homebound people with serious diseases. So go to G, buy the Banh Mi and the Beast, let us crush Scott Druneau at the source, which is what we're doing now, and go into the finals against Jonah Kim, whom we will crush. Also, I want to let you guys know Mike Isabella, speaking of him, is leading a trip. It's sort of a culinary voyage. Actually, he's going to Argentina and Brazil, but the first trip is to Argentina. A friend of ours, Michael Audebert, has put this trip together. If you go to artinvoyage.com, you can find out everything about it. I believe Nikki and I are going on the trip. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's a foodie's dream to go to Argentina with Mike and do cooking classes and all of that with him. So please do that. And let me just tell you about next week, Daniel Linderman from Lindera Farms is coming in. He makes his own vinegars, me-like vinegar, so that'll be fun. Mike Coach is the new...